is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Editorial in the Wall Street Journal. How FISA shields FBI abuses. The secret court helps the Bureau duck political accountability. This is the Wall Street Journal coming in at 20,000 feet about something that can be known as Russiagate. I welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, who's written much about Russiagate and watched the story over the years. And it had not occurred to me that FISA was the problem. Victor, if I understand correctly in recent remarks, you are struck by, one, how America is apparently either not paying attention or not learning from the John Durham report about Russiagate's excesses. One of those excesses was the FBI using the FISA court to permit it to surveil everybody they wanted to in the Russiagate investigation, and to leak that surveillance to the media to defame Donald Trump, and then during his term, to undermine his government. Abolishing the FISA court, is that a good idea, Victor? Because what we're looking at here is we need to make some changes before the FBI troubles us again. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think that, you know, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was part of that whole area of reform, so-called reform in the 70s, following Watergate by, you know, the Church Committee in 78 and Ted Kennedy. And the idea was, it was a liberal democratic idea to curb the interference of the CIA in domestic politics, and then the abuses of J. Edgar Hoover and his successors. But it's ironic today because the people who are defending the FBI and the CIA tend to be on the left side of the spectrum. But what was curious about the Durham report is that the narrative that was true, that the FBI submitted the Steele dossier after they had offered Christopher Steele $1 million if he could find anything in there that was verifiable, that he could produce evidence that it was accurate. And then when he could not, they deliberately and knowingly sent that file to the FISA court, even though they had no confidence in it themselves because they had, you know, offered a bounty that wasn't taken up. And then we had Kevin Kleinsmith, an FBI lawyer, who altered a document if that wasn't enough. But the point was that the judges were not children. They read the materials and they had access to the affidavits. And if they wanted, they could have read the Steele dossier. So they were willing participants in this FBI effort to alter basically an election. And the irony about it was the narrative was that Hillary Clinton, John Brennan, according to Mr. Durham's report, had been briefing Barack Obama that it was common knowledge that Hillary Clinton was using opposition research and had hidden that payment through three paywalls, through the DNC, through the Perkins Coie law firm, and through Fusion GPS opposition research. And then before it got to Christopher Steele, and then Christopher Steele was further paid as a contractor for the CIA. And then none of it was true. And the irony, of course, is that Hillary Clinton made the allegations that Donald Trump had colluded with the Russians, and that she used the word illegitimate, that he was an illegitimate president after he won. And then she had said she joined the resistance to oppose him because of that. But from what we can tell in the Durham report, she was the instigator. There was Russian collusion, but it consisted of her former Clintonite, Mr. Charles Dolan in Moscow, who was feeding gossip and lies and giving it the imprimatur of an on-site source in Moscow to Christopher Steele. And he was also drawing on Ivor Deshenko, pretty much a left-wing guy who was getting paid by the FBI as well, even though they had no confidence in him. And so we're left with the irony that Hillary Clinton dreamed up this entire Russian collusion effort in cahoots with the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Is it your measure the FISA court was deceived or went along with it because it was politically expedient and it's used to going along with the FBI? For example, this editorial says that 278,000 warrantless searches on U.S. citizens conducted by the FISA court, this report just issued. So they've been doing this for years.
Yes, however, I don't know what the percentage is, but you read that 96 to 98% of the warrants are approved, and they either don't have the time to read them because they're so numerous, or they felt, as many of them are liberal judges, that the cause was noble, that is, trying to stop Donald Trump, and therefore any means necessary to achieve them were okay. And that lack of dispassionate analysis and fairness allowed them to, on the basis of an obvious doctored dossier. I mean, I don't have any expertise in intelligence, but I remember looking at the dossier and seeing the scare capitals and the fake format and references to a consulate in Florida, a Russian consulate that didn't exist, and all sorts of things that were pretty easy to spot. And then people who scrutinized it found numerous lapses almost immediately. So the judges could have easily done that, but they chose not to, or they didn't have the time to do it, or they were afraid of James Comey. I don't know which it was.
We do not have an FBI that, to my knowledge, has paid a penalty for this in public, nor has it come forward and confessed to the scale of its own problems, nor do we have an establishment in Washington that seems, at this point, to want to take the Durham report seriously. This is a condemnation of the election process of 2016 and leading into the undermining of a president of the United States. Do you hear something going on here? Is there a whispering campaign? Don't say anything, and they can't learn anymore? A Barry Durham, or is America?
Yeah, I think the media is basically saying, because he didn't get very many indictments other than Kleinsmith, then there was nothing there. And we know that from the judges that he had to work with in the Washington, New York corridor and the juries that which would have followed, he's not going to get conviction because Donald Trump, people, again, felt that if it involved Donald Trump, it didn't matter the level of abuse that incurred because it was justified by the noble cause of hurting or eliminating Donald Trump as a viable presidential candidate. But what was striking is this happened twice. The dossier was used to warp a presidential election and destroy the livelihoods of George Papadopoulos and Carter Page and a series of other people that ensued it, because it continued on after the election with Casey McFarland, the Deputy National Security Advisor, and of course, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. But and then in 2020, remembering nothing, with no sense of shame, the FBI essentially put this laptop of Hunter Biden's that had incriminating evidence about quid pro quo activities of the Biden family consortium. They put it on ice and they allowed willingly 50 former quote unquote authorities, intelligence authorities, to say something that was a flat out lie. I mean, they couched their language that has all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. But my God, Mr. Tony Bobulinski said that his communications were on the laptop and they were accurate as they came into the public purview. And the owner of the repair shop had a receipt that Hunter Biden signed. And yet here we had these intelligence agents. And now we know that Mike Morrell, fishing for a CIA directorship, called Tony Blinken, fishing for a state Secretary of State position, and they cooked it up. And it changed the election because Joe Biden had this 50 signatures, 51. So in the debate, when Donald Trump said that the laptop was accurate, he just shut him down. He just said, no, look at these experts, bipartisan experts. They say it's a hallmark of Russian disinformation. That was the second election that the FBI and the CIA has had a hand in warping.
So rather than learn for the positive, some members of the establishment have learned for the negative, that not only can they disturb the American electorate, they can get away with it. That's the thing, Victor. Russiagate, they got away with it. It's kind of a marvelous noir movie.
I guess it would be even worse. I mean, in the case of Andrew McCabe, he was asked on four occasions by the Inspector General's federal investigators, three times under oath, to what degree had he'd been leaking information that the FBI was investigating the Clinton Foundation. And he wanted to leak that it wasn't, because he was trying to protect the Clintons, and he lied. And we know that James Comey on 245 occasions said he couldn't remember or had no knowledge. We know that Robert Mueller on two occasions said he didn't know what the Steele dossier was or Fusion GPS that had prompted his own appointment. So these were the three consecutive directors of the FBI that either lied outright, it's in the Durham report in the case of McCabe, or claimed ignorance that would be impossible to claim. They had knowledge of all of this. So when you've got three consecutive directors doing that without any consequences, in fact, they were rewarded. Both Comey and McCabe followed the footsteps of John Brennan, who lied under oath, ex-CIA director, and James Clapper, who lied under oath, director of national intelligence. They all got lucrative consultantships with cable news networks.
Will they try it again? We'll find out next year. Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution commenting on the Durham report and the Wall Street Journal editorial right now, calling for discontinuing the FISA court. It was an idea from the 20th century. It's not working. We're going to turn to San Francisco next and California's governance. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.